B-Pod Studios.
The Bat. These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Final hour, agenda free. It's driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Our first agenda free Friday in football season. Last night's game was a pig. It was a dog pig bleep show.
I mean, that's like that. That's one of the worst games you'll ever see.
It was still great to have it back.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, hell yeah!
It was still nice to have it back, wasn't it?
I mean, I was into it. I watched a little bit of the Red Sox at the beginning. Once the football started, I said the Red Sox can wait. If something happens, I'll find out about it on the highlights.
So it's nice to have it back. But boy, what a disgrace. Murray, you want to give your opening take again? Because I thought it was so good as related to the Bears.
Yeah, I just think that GMs and scouts haven't been talked about enough when it comes to, you know, criticism. You know, we get on the coaches because it feels like there's a, you know, lack of good coaches in this league, and that's pretty much obvious. It's Belichick and like three other guys, and that's it. But GMs and scouts for these teams, they need to get criticized too, because the Bears GM, Ryan Pace, traded up to get Mitch Trubisky in 2017. He traded up to get that piece of crap. So scouts looked at this guy who won 8 college games. And look it up. I looked this because that game was so bad. I was like, let me look this up, because it started. It was like a little bee in my bonnet. I'm like, how many bad quarterbacks really have been drafted in the first round over like the last 10 years or really my lifetime? So they traded up. This guy won 8 college games. His numbers weren't even good in those college games when he played for North Carolina. And they said he was worthy of a first round pick.
2 overall.
Yeah, 2 overall. They also thought he was better than Deshaun Watson, who went in the first round, and Patrick Mahomes, who went after that, who just won the MVP last year and may be the best quarterback in the game right now. And if you look at the last drafts of like the last 8 to 10 years, and some of the bum quarterbacks taken in the first round, like, it's about the scouting and the GMs. How do you look at Blake Bortles and say, yeah, I'm going to use my first round pick on him? Or Marcus Mariota and Jameis Winston, who went, well, Winston went 1 and Mariota went 1-2. Was that 5 years ago, whatever it was? Jared Goff, who's a puppet and I think is overrated. Okay, he's won some games, got to the Super Bowl last year, but that guy's talent level, you couldn't have found that in the second or third round. Paxton Lynch, who went first to Denver like 4 years ago, whatever it is, and he's now out of the league. It's bum after bum after bum. And to me, there's maybe 5 or 6 quarterbacks going back to like 2011 that were truly worthy of a number one pick.
Boy, that 2017 draft. You're the Niners. You're sitting at 3 overall. You have no quarterback. And you draft Solomon Thomas, the defensive end out of Stanford. Has he done a single thing?
No. I think he had 1 sack last year.
Pat Mahomes is on the board, and you take something named Solomon Thomas. The Jaguars, I guess they took Bortles a couple years before, so. But anyway, they're at 4. They take the running back Leonard Fournette, idiot. Titans at 5 take Corey Davis, good receiver. They had just taken Mariota, so I guess they're not taking him. The Jets take Jamal Adams at 6, really good player, but boy, Pat Mahomes is sitting there for the Jets at number 6 overall, and they take a safety. The Chargers take the receiver Mike Williams at 7 overall. Good player. You have Phillip Rivers, so I guess you're not drafting a quarterback, I guess. Panthers at 8 take Christian McCaffrey. They have a quarterback, so I guess you're not taking the quarterback. At 9, the Bengals take John Ross, a wide receiver out of Washington. Has he done a single
thing?
He's
actually pretty good.
Is he?
Yeah.
I think he had a pretty good year last year, actually.
I'm not familiar with his work. I don't pay attention to the Bengals, and I don't play fantasy. And then Pat Mahomes goes 10. So, I mean, the Bears, you trade up to 2 to take Trubisky, and you've got Mahomes sitting there. But you can look at all those other teams in the top 10, too, and say, what are your scouts looking at? The teams that need a quarterback? What are you guys looking at?
It's a good question.
And yeah. So much of it is, and I think it was Chris saying it, like, it's, well, he looks like a quarterback, and he fits the mold. Did you test his aptitude? If he's got some sack on him? I don't know. The kid can't play. He can't play. It's been evident since he came into the league in 2017. He consistently locks onto his primary receiver. He can't see the field. Guys are wide open, and he misses them. It's repulsive. Like, I like bad football. That offended me. To watch him play quarterback is offensive.
Okay, I wasn't quite as offended, but I wasn't happy with Aaron Rodgers. I thought he sucked, too. And I'll just give you a quick Packer minute. Obviously, no one's coaching him again. He has no coaching because he's just out there floating around, dancing around, Mr. Happy Feet, going to chuck it sidearm, going to just flick it from the wrist, going to run over here and just flick it sidearm. I'm going to fall off to the left and throw it to the right. I'm just going to dance around like some sort of a-hole. and that's what I'm going to do. So obviously this new coach, this 12-year-old coach that they hired, isn't teaching him anything, or isn't trying to, you know, trying to rein him in at all, because he's doing the same thing he was doing for the last year or so and just really regressing, I think, as a passer. And I think their one touchdown drive was a joke. The long fake double reverse that they hit for 45 yards should have been a touchdown, but he was falling sideways, throwing sidearm, because he just can't be bothered to set his feet and step into the throw. And then the touchdown was a joke. The touchdown throw was as bad as Mitch Trubisky's interception. It's just Trubisky ended up being intercepted and Rodgers for some reason wasn't. So the one scoring drive was a joke. And I think that I'm just disgusted watching Aaron Rodgers, because I'm just begging someone to get to him and to tell him, set your feet, put the ball behind your ear, follow through, throw downhill, play quarterback. Play quarterback like a human being, like an NFL player, and not some freelancer. Because the obviously LaFleur hasn't done any of that, because he's still dancing around out there like an idiot.
Yeah,
and you don't think that the guy who oversaw the development of Marcus Mariota last year is the answer?
Oh, yeah, no, so it's great. Overnight, I'm the Titans. Overnight, my team's the Titans. All of a sudden, we have a defense. But again, really hard to tell when you're playing against that bag of crap on the other side. But defense, running the ball, and inept quarterback play. Perfect. We're the Titans. That didn't take long. One game.
Rodgers did have a few, though, that it was like, well, you're either rusty or you just don't give a rat's ass. One, it looked like it should have been a pick. He threw, I think it was at Graham's feet. It bounced off. Looked like it could have
been an interception. I saw that, yeah.
And then another one was like a shovel pass where he threw like it was a lit stick of dynamite. What are you doing? You're better than this.
He can't be bothered to go back 5 steps, plant his foot, set his feet, throw downhill, and he just can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. He's too big. He's too important. He's bigger than the team, and you're not going to tell him what to do. So that's frustrating to me. So those are our reset thoughts on last night's game. To your phones on everything. Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
You guys said it perfectly. The ineptitude last night at the quarterback level and offense overall was terrible, but frankly, I was more insulted with Collinsworth, how he kept defending it or masking it by talking about how great the defenses were on both sides.
I agree.
I get it. They're okay. But it was like, well, don't pay attention over here at how horrible it is. Boy, I'll tell you, those defenses really built themselves up. What a great job. And, Mike, you should go easy on the Packers coach. He's running around like a crazy man on that torn Achilles that he's been neglecting his rehab to do a good job coaching.
Well, at least he's on his feet as opposed to Booger there in Detroit on his four-wheeler and, you know, standing like the band conductor on the Gatorade buckets. At least he was mobile, my guy. But I don't care about I care about someone getting to Rodgers and saying, stop playing like such an a-hole and just settle down and play the position and set your feet and step into the throw and just play normally.
I mean, he does. He needs like an old school disciplinarian.
See, I wanted them to hire Coughlin.
Well, I was just going to say, weren't we talking about that last year?
I want someone to get into a room with him and say, watch you here. Watch. I know you like to have your feet all over the place and to be sort of floating a little bit, but there was no need to do it. You had a clean pocket and you had a guy wide open on a 7-yard slant over the middle. All you have to do is set your feet and throw the ball. Look, it's right there. And look at you dancing around for no reason. Just look at yourself. I don't think anyone's doing that. Another story today, the Bruins and owner Jeremy Jacobs has transferred his team to his children, which I found surprising because Charlie Jacobs, his son, I'm going to call him his eldest son. I don't know if he is, but I'm just going to assume that Charlie Jacobs, his son, who's been on the board and been involved in the president and all these stuff, was just going to get the team. No, he transferred the team to his 6 children. I didn't know he had 6 kids. I didn't know he had 3 daughters. But now they're all equal owners or what? I haven't bothered reading the story. I probably should look into the details of it. But I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I just give it to Charlie, for better or worse. That's who it is, right? Why does he give it to the 6 kids? And that does that just invite all sorts of mess?
Well, look what's happened with the Lakers.
Potentially,
the bus kids.
Yeah.
Look what happened to the Niners. You know, all these teams, New Orleans and the Bensons. Like, there's all sorts of.
Yeah, they all end up fighting over it.
Right? So, I don't know. Maybe this prevents that? I don't know. But it was... I found it odd that it's just not Charlie taking over. Mike and Woburn has a thought on this. Go, Mike.
Hey, Mike, have you ever heard of the Book of St. Albans?
No.
Okay. It's where you get all the cool names for, like, a pod of dolphins or, like, a warren of rabbits. Did you know a group of pandas is called an embarrassment?
Is that right?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cute.
I proposed a name for
easy,
this
easy,
ownership group.
Easy, easy,
this,
easy, easy.
Oh,
okay. All right. I just want to make sure. I think I heard it. I am responsible for what you say, just so you know. What should we call it?
A disaster of Jacobs's. Okay, listen. Like, you have kids. Tony, you have kids. Have you ever had to try to get them to share something? Okay, I gave an Xbox to my son and my daughter. It was like an electronic Gaza strip. I had to buy another one, okay? Forget it. You're talking about a $1 billion team. Now, I used to have one owner who hated hockey. Now I have six kids who are going to be fighting over this team.
I'm going to stop you there. I used to have one guy that didn't give two poops about the team and never showed up in Boston. Now I have six of them.
I need to read up on
me
it.
Me too.
I have to believe that there is something there listed legally that delineates who gets what and who's in charge.
Please tell me.
I can't imagine that Jeremy Jacobs would just leave it that open.
I haven't bothered reading the story. So
in this day and age, who does it that way?
Will there be one daughter? Like, I find it too violent.
Right. I don't. This is the problem. It's true. Kids won't share anything. But you know, am I wrong to say it makes me a little nervous? I mean, as conflicted as we are about the Jacobs, I say conflicted because Jeremy Jacobs for a long time wouldn't spend the money, and I don't think did well by this team for a long time. But when he got his salary cap, you have to admit, he started spending money, and I think his hires have been fine. Not through the roof, not great, but you won a cup, you've been to a couple, he's spent money, and so I think that in the last, whatever, decade or so, Jeremy Jacobs has come around to someone that we don't hate, who has been fine. You know, he's improved.
I mean, look what they just did with the building, and it wasn't like they were clamoring for a new one.
They've been to the Cup Finals three times now in what is it, 9 years?
Yes, and so they've generally spent. You're not losing players because you won't pay for them like you used to. In fact, you're overpaying your guys in a lot of cases. So the thing that we felt about Jacobs up until the lockout in 03, 04, 05, in that range, I think has sort of been wiped away. And so I think Jacobs had the last 10, 15 years of his ownership were an improvement. Let's just say that. It was going in the right direction. It was an improvement. Now we're back to Charlie. So where are we going to be there? So that makes me a little nervous. You know, Jacobs used to not give two poops about his team. Now he sort of gave like half a poop. Where's Charlie on that? So it just sort of makes me a little nervous what's coming next because I thought Jacobs was fine here in the last little bit, where before he wasn't. And the whole thing about giving it to the six kids, like, tell me that's not really what's really going on there. Anyway, there's that Bruins thought. Back to your phones right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
These guys know how to connect with you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Bass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Obviously unacceptable. Starts with me. So this just told the guys in there, this is not who we are. I was proud of our defense. I thought they played their ass off tonight. Offensively, not good enough. And we're going to fix it. We have a locker room of high character people. That's why we bring these guys in, because what they do is they don't point fingers. The defense doesn't point fingers and say the offense should have played better. That's not how we roll. I know what kind of guys we have. I'm looking forward to figuring out how we get better, and we're going to do that.
As you get back to work this week, what's the top of your priority list?
Well, figure out how to score more points. 3 points is ridiculous.
So that's Matt Nagy, the Bears coach. I still have to be high on him. And do you know why, Mass?
because of what he got out of Trubisky last year?
We all think Trubisky, and I think we're right, can't play. Pathetic. Last year, Matt Nagy got Mitch Trubisky. He started 14 games. I guess he was hurt for a couple. But he got Mitch Trubisky to quarterback the team to an 11-3 record with a 2-1 touchdown interception ratio, 24-12, a quarterback rating on the season of 95, a completion percentage of 66.6, and a Pro Bowl berth. So if Matt Nagy got that out of Mitch Trubisky, he must be a miracle worker, right?
Yeah.
Which is the same thing you guys say about McVay. If you think Goff is some bum, then you got to give credit to McVay.
Absolutely.
Last night notwithstanding, if anyone who could get that out of Mitch Trubisky must be pretty good, I guess. Right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you remember the first game last year, I think it was a primetime game against Green Bay, if I recall. Like, he opened it up, Trubisky slinging it all over the field. There were a few games that they had last year in primetime that I watched. I was like, oh, okay, maybe this kid isn't as bad as I thought. No, it's about the scheme, the offense, you know, and it's about the coach. Just like it is with McVay and Goff. That's what I think. It's more about the coach than the quarterback, because the quarterbacks aren't that good.
And I'll tell you what, with their defense, it's not going to take much. If he just is
he needs 17 points.
Well, yeah. If he's just a game manager, if he can just not screw it up. Because, you know, Al Michaels mentioned this during the broadcast I sent. I went back just now to check. Their four losses during the regular season were by a total of 14 points. And then they lost 16-15 to the Eagles in the playoffs on a kick they should have made.
Right.
I mean, so it's not going to – all they got to do – if they get 20 points, they'll win. Their defense is that freaking good.
Okay, back to your phones. You're on Agenda Free Friday. Pete in Delaware. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. I kind of blame Nagy a little bit because the last two games, he has thrown the ball over 40. He's had 40 attempts in both games. They both are losses at home. And the fact that the Packers' defense strategy, and they said it, was to make him play quarterback, mm-hmm. is as big as an indictment as you can get on a player.
Okay. So, look, they all had a bad night last night. Fine. Get on all of them. 3 points against the Packers is a joke. But if you get Mitch Trubisky to the Pro Bowl as a quarterback,
it's an accomplishment.
I'm sorry. You got to give him credit for that. Again, Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table. Dean in Shrewsbury has a Celtics thought. Hi, Dean.
Hi. Tatum's looking great passing the ball, the pocket passing, getting to the rim, rebounding, and playing defense, but he is absolutely blowing layups right now, so I don't know what's going on with that.
So hold on, you're and talking against the Turks, right?
Just in general, the whole FIBA, he's been blowing layups left and right.
How do you blow a layup against a guy who's 5'6" from Japan?
Exactly.
When Jaylen Brown, do you see Jaylen Brown dunk on these poor guys?
No, I haven't watched any of this. I couldn't give a rat's ass.
Oh my God, it looked like Teen Wolf.
You do FIBA on your own.
Seriously.
Time.
Chemistry with the Celtics people has been really good.
The chemistry with the Celtics people have been really good?
Yeah.
Against the
Walker,
Japanese.
Brown.
Against Japan.
Tatum, all good.
Yeah. You know why Tatum's missing
50
layups?
Wins.
I'll tell you why.
NBA title.
Because he's laughing at the squirt covering him, and he can't contain himself as he's going to the basket.
I'm all in.
Jaylen Brown was flying over these poor guys from Japan.
I mean, come on. Like, there's a lot of things I can get myself worked up over. Jason Tatum not playing well against Turkey and Japan is not one of them. Like, I just can't bring myself to that.
They zoned him well.
I give the caller credit if he's that much of a basketball junkie and fan that he's willing to invest in it. I can't do it. Turkey and Japan? I got to watch that?
Their 2-3 defense is amazing.
David in Florida, Agenda Free Friday, with a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, David.
Passing game.
How are we doing? I got a couple of things, actually. First of all, I can't stand Cora. I can't stand him. Never mind his lack of baseball knowledge. His character. I mean, quoting Dumb and Dumber, that comment from the Yankees last season, we scored 15 runs against New York. Suck it. What kind of leader, what kind of man, leader of men, says something like that? But my question is, I got two questions about this next year. Do you think Baldelli would make a good manager here? I mean, he's from Rhode Island. I mean, he's been doing very well in Minnesota. What do you think?
Hey, David, where are you from? Where are you from? You from Rhode Island?
I'm from Natick originally.
Natick.
I'm from Natick originally.
All right.
Why are we getting that on the air?
Because I thought he was one of these Rhode Island yahoos who's going to, like, pump up Rocco Baldelli. What has Rocco Baldelli done?
Why are the Twins firing Rocco Baldelli when they're going to the playoffs?
They're not. And you know what Rocco Baldelli has done? Tell them to try to hit home runs. Again, the Twins don't do anything special. They just get guys up there like everyone else trying to jack the ball into the seats. They just happen to succeed. They have, like, one of the worst stolen base percentages in baseball this year. Not that they run a lot. But it's like they don't do anything special. They just go up there and try to hit it 800 feet. They happen to succeed at it. So now, look, you want to tell me that, I don't know, the culture of the team has changed with Baldelli? Fine. Great. That'll last a year or two, and then they'll hate him too.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I don't see anything special in the managing of the game anymore. This is the problem with it. Now, with Cora, at least I can look at some of the guys and say, well, he got through to Bogarts. He got through to Devers. Vasquez, Eduardo Rodriguez, you have some good young Hispanic players on your team, and if having a Hispanic manager who can tap into their potential helps you, great. I'm all for it. I have no issue with that part of it whatsoever. But Rocco Baldelli? Now all of a sudden that's the answer? We just fired the manager a year ago. We're going to fire him again?
I just don't know how Rocco Baldelli is going to shake free from a team that he's leading into the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm from Woonsocket. I can make it happen.
Steve in Portland, what do you got for us?
Hey, a quick stat from last night. There was 65 offensive plays, 15 of which were runs, of which three were runs by Mitchell Trubisky. And even more pathetic, when they had Butkus and Seiya, they didn't make one playoff game.
Is that
unbelievable?
Butkus never made the playoffs?
Butkus and Seiya together.
Sayers.
I'm going to look that up.
Butkus never made the playoffs?
It's well before my time, so I don't know.
That is, of course, but that would blow me away.
You want to talk about greatest running backs who ever lived? Gale Sayers is on the list.
No question. I just don't know how the Bears go from Sid Luckman to now with not having one single guy who can play quarterback. That to me is... We read you the Miami Dolphins list since Dan Marino, or the Bills list since Jim Kelly. We're talking about since 1990-something. You can do that with the Bears going back to 1940-effing-8. It's unbelievable. Seriously, that list blew me away.
So, by the way, I can't speak to the Dick Butkus era in Chicago Bears history, but I'm willing to bet he didn't play in the playoffs because they didn't have an effing quarterback. That's what I'm willing to bet, because the Bears have never had an effing quarterback.
Exactly. Here's Mike in Rhode Island. Hi, Mike.
You know what? Listening to Murray just rip into these quarterbacks, and especially Jared Goff, is ridiculous. The guy went 0-7 his rookie year and has gone 24-7 since then. Okay, but Jimmy Garoppolo's great. You know, isn't Jimmy great? He gets $140 million, and you guys are ripping into Jared Goff getting $110 million. Guy's 24 years old, got laid out as a rookie when he was 21, and then goes 24-7. You know, listening to Murray talk about quarterbacks is the equivalent to Joy Behar talking about nickel defenses. It's ridiculous.
I think Garoppolo stinks, too. Yell
listening to Murray.
Murray. I like the way he said Murray.
Murray.
I wanted to keep going just to hear him say Murray.
It's about the coach, not the quarterback. He would get the same results out of Blake Bortles, who's the backup. Now I have something extra to root for this year. Goff going down and Blake Bortles coming in, and you see the same exact kind of numbers. And then they fail in the playoffs again because it's about the coach, not the suckbag quarterback. And my thing is, you could get that kind of talent in the second round or further down the line.
You're so right.
He's not a first round pick.
You're not wrong. Joy Behar, is that the
Joy Behar
of The View? Yes.
Yeah, The View. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. A masterpiece from
talk about the nickel defense.
A masterpiece from Joy Behar right after the update with Murray.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
As thy calendar flips to September, the Patriots of New England begin their quest for a 7th championship.
Yacht number 7.
The Pats and Brady will secure
another Lombardi to behold, and they're climbing the stairway to 7. All us Pats fans, we know that all the other teams they blow, they're just turds who will get what they came for.
We'll kill them.
Yeah, yeah. And they're climbing the stairway to 7. We will all defend the wall, and you better be sure that that clown Goodell deserves a wicked beating.
Goodell sucks.
There's a post on Facebook that says the team to beat is the Chiefs. I wrote, I hope Mahomes gets hurt by Thanksgiving. I hate him.
I hate him too. I hate all the quarterbacks who aren't Brady, Eli, Dak, Mayfield, Roethlisberger. I hate anyone who's not the GOAT.
Yeah, I want to milk the GOAT.
Yeah, they're gonna win another.
Yeah, my favorite championship's the next one.
Every time on my way through that thing. Every time. Okay, yeah, we got a good final word lined up for you as well. We got about 5-6 minutes till we get to it. I'll do something that Jimmy used to call a lightning round. It means you have to be quick, which means no pleasantries, which means if your phone sucks, I'm going to bail out quickly. So
this is going to go well.
In, out, in, out, in, out.
Michael Hawley was great at this.
Okay, we'll see how I do. All right.
Let's see how mediocre is my guess.
See how we do. Let's see how you do. It's all about you. Okay. Lightning round. Quick. You ready, Maz?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm ready.
Here's Dave in New Hampshire. Go.
DK Metcalf's going to be better than N'Keal Harry. Boom. Done.
Who did he say?
DK Metcalf, who's with the Seahawks. He was one of the first receivers taken in the draft.
Okay. So did the so he was taken before or after Harry? Was it a first round pick?
I think he was, yeah.
Okay, so
I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure he was.
And the guy I still have my eye on is who went in between Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel last year, and that's Calvin Ridley of the Atlanta Falcons, who had like close to 900 yards and I think 7 or 8 touchdowns last year.
I'm not going to blame the Patriots if the guy was off the board by the time they got to him. Yeah, you know. But if he was there,
DK Metcalf was the guy who was like all diesel, and then they drafted him, and Pete took his shirt off.
All right, all good. Ripped. You know, I'm just saying, if you're the Bears and you're sitting there, and Pat Mahomes is on the board, and you take Mitch Trubisky, that I'm going to hold against you.
Seahawks are going to be good.
Phil and Revere, go ahead, Phil. What do you got?
Take it back.
Yeah, if Brady walks next year, if they don't want him back, Belichick wants to win a ring without him. Look at a team like Chicago. You stick him in there, they'll throw a boatload of money at him, and he could win before Belichick.
Okay, so, that's a good one. Brady on the Bears, Belichick left here with Stidham. Who wins the Super Bowl first?
Bears.
Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Bill.
Well, I don't know. Bears. If the Bears had Brady.
Bill.
And the offensive genius mind of Matt Nagy.
The Bears wouldn't want Brady. He's too good.
He wouldn't fit. What did you want to take back quickly?
DK Metcalf won in the second round, 64th overall.
Then I will hold it against the Patriots. If DK Metcalf is better than N'Keal Harry, then you can say they took the wrong guy. Get back to me in 3 years. That's the way it goes. Accordion, Corey there, Corey Pesatora, accordion champion. No time for pleasantries. What do you got?
Felger, you've had some long-standing takes, which don't get talked about enough. Like you said, the Bruins are more choky than they are clutch, and it took me about 9 years to finally accept that. But one of the other ones is you don't need a star wide receiver. You don't need a star running back. And so I don't have time to go over it, but I sent you guys all the email of this. It is astounding how not only do you not need, you do not want either a star running. Look at the chart I sent you guys, all the lists. It's astounding, all the famous and well-loved wide receivers and running backs. And all the ones that have won, they've only won one Super Bowl, and there's full explanations of why, and they had nothing to do with that. I literally am going...
Corey, I'm just
going
to stop you. We'll do it next week because I firmly... The running back thing is obvious.
It's got to be in recent history, right?
But there's also a list because Jerry Rice. But there's also...
Emmett.
Well, fine. Right. Yeah, yeah. But to say that there's none is silly, of course. I mean, yes. And Emmett in the 90s. Congratulations. 1993.
Marshawn Lynch is really the last one.
And well, he, and yeah.
Michelle.
And I, what's that?
Sony Michelle, but.
Would you stop with that? Sony Michelle's led him to the Super Bowl.
First round pick.
And I don't think Marshawn,
the parameters.
I don't think Marshawn Lynch led him to a.
Oh, please. Come on.
They won on their defense.
He was the pivotal point of their offense,
And their offense was a secondary piece to that whole team. Their identity was defense.
Yeah, but he mattered offensively.
They didn't win until Wilson got there.
The identity was defense.
Didn't they lose a Super Bowl because they didn't run the ball?
Thank you, Jimmy.
The identity of that team is defense. But either way, we'll go through it. The running back is obvious. I think it exists for receivers, too. You don't need those guys to win. It's hard to get away with it without a quarterback, but without a flashy wide receiver or a star running back, it's actually easy to do. Steven Ipswich, go.
Looking to see if you had any thoughts about what was on the baseball show a couple of weeks ago where Maz and I think Lou Maloney and John Tomasi were discussing Roger Clemens being up on the retired numbered list.
Are you yes or no, Steven Ipswich?
Number 25, Tony Conigliaro being up there. Any thoughts about that?
I don't care about Tony C. Steve, should Clemens be up there? No, doesn't work. Should Clemens be up there?
Absolutely.
Yes.
No brainer. He should absolutely be up there. You're going to put Boggs up there and no Clemens?
So this is the problem. When you put Boggs up there, it's like, well, now you got to let Clemens. And when you let Clemens, you got to let this guy. And then you got to let that guy. All things being equal, you know me, small haul. And Clemens still might be on it. But I want you to have won a championship with the team before I put your number up there. And Clemens obviously never did. He goes and wins somewhere else. So go be in that wall. Go be in the Canyon of Heroes or whatever. But ideally, the Celtics have a handful of numbers. The Bruins have like three, and the Red Sox don't have anyone who didn't win a championship up there.
I mean, Clemens should be up there. Like, you know, you're not going to put Ted Williams' number up there?
I know. He might be an exception.
That might be the most Felger thing ever. Take down Ted Williams' number.
There's a Bork.
I kind of like it.
I'll let Bork up there, and I'll let Ted Williams up there, but don't give me anyone else.
Clemens.
No, didn't win a championship.
He might be the greatest pitcher of all time.
But he got really good after he left here. And he won some championships. But the horse is out of the barn. If Boggsy's going to be on that thing, then yeah, they all get in. X should be up there if Boggs is on there. There should be a bunch of people up there if Boggs is on there.
Boggs shouldn't be up there.
Tom and Quincy, go.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I know you want to keep it short, so I'll go this quick about Antonio Brown. Shoots his way out of Pittsburgh. Gets a $30 million signing bonus and guaranteed money from the Raiders. Gets his feet decapitated there with the frostbite. Does the helmet thing. Then it's a whole stage deal to get an endorsement deal with some other helmet company. Calls his GM a cracker and a bitch. And then says he's going to get suspended. They could have recouped the money, kicked him to the curb. But that's why everyone else sucks in this league. Because they're so stupid that he's going to stop.
It's so true. They had an out. They could have.
They should have cut his ass.
They could have released him and could have suspended him for conduct detrimental that would not have guaranteed the salary. They would have lost their fifth and third round pick that they sent to Pittsburgh, but they wouldn't owe him a dime. They'd be done free and clear.
Do you think there's any chance they get overruled by ownership?
Of course there is. Heck yes, there is.
I wonder. I mean, to me, that's what it reeks of. We gave them all this money, although they had a way out. But more importantly, we're moving to Vegas. We need some star power. And he's it. Like, I don't know. That's what it feels like to me.
Okay, lightning round, two more. Let's see if we can do this. Dante and Linfield, go.
Jimmy's spot on. The problem with the execs and GMs in the NFL is that they don't realize that if a quarterback comes from a spread offense or can be described in any way as mobile, they're probably absolutely horrendous. The best thing you can do to a young quarterback is show him probably some Drew Bledsoe film on how to stand for a half hour in the pocket and get decapitated.
But Dante, didn't Pat Mahomes play on a spread offense?
I believe he did, yeah.
Yeah.
It was Texas Tech, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, again, he also had a, you know, he also has a good coach.
But the point is, if you're just going to, the caller said don't draft from the spread offenses. If that's what you're going to do, you're not going to have very many guys to choose from.
No, you're not going to be able to draft anyone.
And then there's some guys that have come from like a pro-style offense like they had in Florida State at the time, like Jameis Winston, and he comes into the league and he's a complete bonehead.
Baker Mayfield. I mean, like, you know, you wouldn't want Baker Mayfield?
You're going to have to take guys from the spread. There's no other choice. It's what they play there. Billy in Rhode Island, you get the final word today on Felger and Maserati.
Yay. I'm with Jimmy on this thing. That Garofalo's got a lot to prove. He hasn't proved nothing. All he proved is he got a good contract. He's got a long way to prove himself. That's all I got
to
say.
Okay, well, go talk to Bill. Go write him. One Patriot Place, BB. Attention, BB, One Patriot Place, Foxborough, Massachusetts. I don't know the zip.
Yeah, Janine Garofalo.
Apparently, Janine Garofalo is now a quarterback.
You call him Janine?
No, he called him Garofalo.
Garofalo. Also really underrated in Copland.
Yeah, and he's a really good NFL reporter, too.
That's a storyline I'm rooting for this year. The whole Garoppolo back to the Patriots, I would love, but he's going to have to suck for that to happen. I think it's a juicier story. It's a better story. It's a better argument. It's a better back and forth if Garoppolo goes to the Pro Bowl this year and pans out with the Niners. It's just a better topic.
So the season starts on Sunday, so what the hell? I'm going to make a prediction right now.
Oh.
The Niners will absolutely be in contention for a playoff spot this year.
Oh, that's going out. It's going to be 7-9.
How bold.
Be in contention for a playoff spot is...
No, they're going to have a winning record and be in contention for a playoff
spot. So that means 9-7. They're in contention for the sixth seed.
A take as bold as yellow mustard.
Wow, that is... Wow, bring Sosie back in here.
I'd almost rather you not have a take than that one.
Why, that doesn't qualify when the guy's coming off
Tony,
a knee surgery?
Can you learn how to facilitate discussion?
Jimmy, what do you think?
Finally, they'll be in contention.
Well, I don't know, Maz. It's a hard one.
Okay, so this week, a big mistake by yours truly. We decided to do a contest for the Patriots tickets.
Maybe the biggest mistake we've made in this show in 10 years.
This was great. I'm glad nobody stopped you.
You were nice to say we, because it was my harebrained idea.
I meant you.
So this thing.
Good job nobody stopping this.
This didn't work. You'll hear the compilation. Hardy put something together. That's coming next in the final.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair
Tire.
Nobody, that would be nobody. First, want to plug something before we get to the content in today's final word. You can join me, Bud Light, and the Patriots tonight at Cleary's on Dartmouth Street in Boston from 7 to 9 if you want to win a pair of tickets to the home opener Sunday night. And if you win these, apparently also be part of the whole banner banner unveiling. You got to come dressed in Patriots gear, show off your touchdown dance. The best one's going to win these tickets. So 7 to 9, Cleary's tonight with yours truly.
I'm going to skip that one if you don't mind, Murray. That doesn't sound like my kind of gig.
Yeah, good luck, Murray.
Well, I like being out with the people and having a time. So, yeah, 7 to 9 tonight, Cleary's with Bud Light. All right, here we go. This is labeled Contest Chaos, put together by Hardy.
What a mistake.
The Midday Show.
What a mistake.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show, Contest Chaos. The only game where contestants aren't there, hang up, or win,
but really don't win unless they call back.
And now, please welcome your reluctant host, Michael Felger.
Let's give away these Patriots tickets. All right, so the first two callers, we only have two callers on that contest line, and you have to answer a question. It's the phrase that pays. Providing you answer the question properly, we'll score a pair of tickets to the home opener against Pittsburgh this Sunday at Gillette Stadium. So you just let me know when someone is up, and I'll take them.
But in the meantime, here's Senorita from Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
So bad. Carlos in Medford. What was in Mike Tomlin's headphones week one, 2015? Carlos. Okay, there you go. 0 for 1.
Oh!
Jared on line two. Jared, are you there? Jared!
Waiting on the phrase that pays.
The phrase that pays.
Jared!
You feel like la, la, la. Yeah, no.
Brendan, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What was in Mike Tomlin's headset week one, 2015?
The Patriots radio.
Okay, fine. There you go.
We have a winner.
Don't let me do that again. Just say no next time. Just say Felger, bad idea.
And while we wait to get your information, here's bad guy from
and
Philly.
And I put him on hold, and he dropped. You got him? You don't got him?
Oh, no.
Call back.
I put... So what do I do?
Duh.
Can't you give the guy, like, 2 minutes to call
back?
Yeah,
he gets to call back.
Let him call back, then.
Okay, good luck, whatever. Who was it? Why didn't you say no?
We're frozen.
When I put this in the emails, man, why don't you say Felger, bad idea?
Because I was hoping for this.
Tune in next time for another edition of...
Contest Chaos!
Brendan, are you there? Carlos! Jared!
Oh, that's great.
Thanks to Hardy for doing that.
Oh, that's an all-timer. That was excellent.
I'll never do it again.
Wow, that was great.
I want to do that every week.
We've got to come up with something, though, that's better than call at 4:30 and we'll take the fourth caller. Like, can we come up with something?
Yeah.
Don't TNR usually do some sort of, like, games?
You want to throw something? Our TV off a roof? We could do that.
I'll do anything.
Tell us a joke.
That's just not...
We don't do jokes here, Maz.
Well, maybe we would for this.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, something.
Murray, look that up.
Yeah. Come up with something. Quickly, what do you got on the baseball reporters?
So, tough loss, dramatic finish last night at Fenway Park. We'll get into the particulars and ask the question that I think everybody was asking this morning and that Alex Cora answered, which is, should they have waived Rafael Devers home? We'll start there. We'll get to a column by Kenny Rosenthal of The Athletic. In the event you haven't seen this today, about the future of Dave Dombrowski, and frankly, I smell a rat. And dare I say, the Yankees are in town. Has anyone forgotten? We'll get to the Yankees later on in the show.
Okay, this weekend, catch the Patriots-Steelers here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Sunday night, Zoe and Sosie on the call. If you're online, I'm back on the FC. I'm doing the FC thing during the fourth quarter. So if you're interested in that little online action, send me a sausage emoji. You get the idea. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Google it. You'll find it soon enough. During the fourth quarter, I'll be doing that. But stay here, 98.5 The Sports Hub, for pre-game and post-action here. Patriots-Steelers week one. We'll be back Monday at 2 to wrap it all up. Everyone have a great weekend. We'll see you then.
You too.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.